eine Kikinig-Sapawika. The only Filipino radio in Zurich. 97.5. Radio Laura.
My name is Lily. Thanks for tuning in to Radio Pawikan, 1 hour of Philippine radio where we find out about Filipino culture and everything in between and what that means. Thanks for tuning in to 97.5 MHz. This is Radio Laura. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Radio Pawikan. In today's episode, we delve into the topic of terror tagging and other violations of international humanitarian law committed by the current Marcos Jr. administration and his predecessor, Rodrigo Duterte. Terror tagging, or the arbitrary designation of individuals and activists as terrorists by state security forces, is one of the cases that will be filed against the U.S.-supported Marcos and Duterte regimes in the upcoming International People's Tribunal this May 17 to 18 here in Europe. In the current climate of terror, especially with the passage of the anti-terror law in 2020 and the existence of the NTF-LCAC since 2018, individuals and activists in the Philippines and abroad find themselves unjustly labeled and their freedom and safety under threat. What we have seen happen in the Philippines in the past years, however, are not simply threats. Terror tagging or red tagging is often followed by assassination attempts or worse. Terror tagged individuals are killed. Today, we are joined by Kalui Halandoni, member of the NDFP Peace Negotiating Panel and the NDFP's Chief International Representative. Kalui has been based in the Netherlands since the 1970s when he was forced into exile for fighting for national and social liberation in the Philippines. He has dedicated most of his life in pursuit of peace as he took part in peace negotiations between the government of the Republic of the Philippines and the National Democratic Front since the late 1980s. In mid-2022, under then-President Rodrigo Duterte, Kalui was designated as a terrorist by the Anti-Terrorism Council. Since then, various groups have called to remove him from the list and questioned the arbitrary powers provided to the Anti-Terrorism Council. We are joined today by Kalui Halandoni from the National Democratic Front of the Philippines. Kalui, can you introduce yourself for our listeners?
I am Luis Halandoni. I am the Chief International Representative of the National Democratic Front of the Philippines. I have been involved in the peace negotiations from 1994 to 2016 as a chief negotiator. And after that, I become an advisor, senior advisor of the peace negotiating panel of the NDF.
Last week, we saw Marcos Jr. leave from Manila to Washington, D.C. for a meeting with U.S. President Joe Biden and Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. This meeting, the so-called Trilateral Summit, aims to discuss maritime security cooperation between these three countries. What are your thoughts about this Trilateral Summit?
In dealing with the U.S. and Japan on this trilateral plan, which puts into very serious danger the Filipino people, this plan, which is meant to cause conflict with China and put the interests of the Filipino people in serious danger, must be condemned thoroughly, and we must expose and condemn it and find ways and means to bring to the Filipino people the serious danger that Marcos Jr. and the U.S. and Japan are making plans for. So this kind of danger must be exposed and then thoroughly opposed and then also condemned.
Thank you, Kalui. And as a follow-up question, this U.S. strategy of containing China by enjoining Japan and its other allies in the region, and also using the Philippines as a launching pad for its containment strategy, is essentially pressuring Marcos Jr. to end local armed conflict in the Philippines. And this has led to the AFP engaging in successive aerial bombing campaigns and other grave human rights violations damaging civilian lives and property. What are your views on these recent international humanitarian law violations of the Marcos Jr. administration?
It's a serious danger to the Filipino people, and the Filipino people must be informed and also be activated to strengthen the resistance of the Philippines against these plans of Marcos that is together, and you might say in close cooperation with US imperialism. So this kind of danger and the increasing human rights violations and violations of international humanitarian law by the Marcos regime must be thoroughly thoroughly exposed and then opposed and then to be condemned by the Filipino people and all its forces so that the Marcos regime cannot use this kind of collaboration with US imperialism and Japan to bring into grave danger the interests of the Filipino people. So we can expect that many more violations of ISL, many more violations of human rights will be committed by the Marcos regime through the red tagging, to the violations of human rights and international humanitarian law, and also to the killings and executions that follow the red tagging and the violations caused by the Anti-Terrorism Council and the NTF-ELCAC of the Philippine government.
Thanks, Kalui. And now to move on to another topic, which is also equally important and timely to talk about, which is terror tagging. Just for the benefit of our listeners, Kalui, how would you define terror tagging? And how does the Marcos government terror tag those who are critical of the current administration?
It's a widespread instrument of the Marcos government against the those activists, those who are fighting against it, those who are considered to be in opposition to the Marcos regime. So terror tagging is used by the government of Marcos to put in danger and accuse activists and all those that oppose the regime. So they say that these are people who oppose the regime, these are insurgents, these are those against the regime. So they must be neutralized, they must be opposed, and many of them have been killed, have been arrested, or put in prison. So the terror tagging is used by the government using the NTF-ELCAC, National Task Force to Eliminate Local Armed Conflict in the Philippines. It also uses the anti-terrorism law so that the Anti-Terrorism Council is another instrument to declare or designate people whom they consider as terrorists or those who fight against them and put them on the terrorist list or designation. So these two instruments, the NTF-ELCAC and the Anti-Terrorism Council, are major instruments in accusing and then detaining or even killing thousands of those who are considered opposing the regime. So many have been accused and killed. So as, for example, Randam Achanis and Sara Alvarez. These are prominent activists. Randam Achanis is a peace consultant and a peasant activist that was arrested, detained, and not only detained, but tortured and killed. And Sara Alvarez was also shot and killed in Negros. So many, they represent so many other activists, so many other indigenous people, students, lawyers, and others who oppose the regime. So these instruments and this terror tagging and putting on the terrorist list must be declared as illegal against international humanitarian law, against human rights law, and also must be opposed and put on trial in the international tribunal that is coming up. These major instruments of oppression against the Filipino people must be exposed and opposed. And we hope that in the coming tribunal, these violations of the people's rights and interests and of international humanitarian law will be exposed and condemned for the benefit of the Filipino people.
Can you tell us the story of how you were terror attacked by the Duterte administration in 2022?
Well, I presume that because of my many years of activism and fighting for the Filipino people's interests, that I came to the interest of the Anti-Terrorism Council, especially General Speron. So he, as the vice chair of the Anti-Terrorism Council, signed the declaration or designation of me and five others into the terrorist list. The five others, there was the representative of the Cordillera People's Democratic Front and a church person who was also opposing the regime. So we were put on the terrorist list. This is clear that those who are seen as opposing the regime or fighting for the interests of the people are put on the terrorist list with the attempt to ready to arrest them or to put them in prison or to even in some cases they kill. So this happened, and we consider it as part of the repression and the danger that is caused to the regime by those who are fighting for their rights and for the interests of the Filipino people.
You mentioned earlier the case of Randall Echanis and Zara Alvarez, who were first terror attacked by the government and then subsequently killed. Can you tell us more about how terror tagging affects a person's life and security?
Well, it's very clear in the experience of Randall Echanis that he was an activist for peace. He was a peace consultant, especially for human rights, but also for social and political reforms, especially for the peasantry. So he was seen as a danger to the regime. He was active for so many years, even became a consultant for the peace negotiations. He was arrested, tortured, and then brutally killed. Zara Alvarez was a human rights worker, very active for the human rights in Negros and also elsewhere. And she was also shot to death in Bacolod, Negros. So it's clear from these two experiences that those who are terror tagged, those who are listed as terrorists, they run the grave danger of being arrested and also tortured and also killed. There are many hundreds and now running into thousands of activists, those in among the indigenous people, the youth, the trade unionists, the peasants, and all over, lawyers also, who are terror listed or red tagged, and they become targets for arrest, torture, and killing. So we see that all those who are considered by the regime as a danger to their control, and those who are fighting for the interests of the Filipino people are subjected to this terror listing or red tagging.
Why is the targeting of NDFP consultants and negotiators involved in peace negotiations with the government a violation of international humanitarian law in relation to the Comprehensive Agreement for the Respect of Human Rights and International Humanitarian Law, CARHIL, and the Joint Agreement on Safety and Immunity Guarantees, JASIG?
So it's very clear that not only are these violations of human rights, they're also violations of international humanitarian law, because they are clearly in violation of rules regarding peace, regarding war, and those that are involved in peace talks should be protected by this international humanitarian law. So it's clear that they who are fighting for peace and fighting for human rights, that they should be protected. And this is in the international humanitarian law, that they who are involved in such peace activities and commitments, that they should be protected by international humanitarian law. They are also, of course, there is the agreement on joint agreement on safety and immunity guarantees that was forged between the government and the NDFP. And these guarantees safety and immunity to all those who are part of the peace negotiations, to the consultants, the panelists, to those who are part of the rule of trying to get the peace negotiations successful. So this agreement, the joint agreement on safety and immunity guarantees, and also the comprehensive agreement on respect for human rights and international humanitarian law, are instruments to make sure that the peace negotiations can advance and that the international humanitarian law will be respected and observed in the peace negotiations.
Terror tagging and the targeting of NDFP consultants and peace negotiators will be one of the cases filed in the International People's Tribunal this upcoming May 17 to 18 in Europe. What is the importance of the International People's Tribunal, and why should people support it?
It's very important that the International People's Tribunal will take this up as one of the most important points for the verdict and the discussion and attention of the international audience. It's important that these violations of international humanitarian law will be exposed, and that people throughout the world and all the different instances could be informed thoroughly and convincingly about these violations of international humanitarian law. And this, we know that the verdict and the proceedings of the tribunal will be sent to the International Criminal Court and to the ICJ, then to the European Parliament and other important international instances.
Thank you so much, Kalui, for answering our questions. The International People's Tribunal 2024 is a war crimes tribunal that aims to investigate and address the violations of international humanitarian laws under the U.S.-supported Duterte and Marcos regimes. The tribunal will hear testimonies from victims of these international humanitarian law violations and discuss evidence of the complicity of the United States government in these war crimes. The International People's Tribunal is convened by the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, IADL, and the Friends of the Filipino People in Struggle, FFPS. Again, this tribunal is happening on May 17 to 18 in Europe. For more information, please go to their website at www.peoplestribunal.ph to register or follow them on social media at People's Tribunal PH on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, and at Tribunal PH 2024 at X, formerly Twitter, for the latest updates. That was all for this episode of Radio Pawikan. Thank you for tuning in. See you next week.
Kayo ay nakikinig sa Pawikan, the only Filipino radio in Zurich, 97.5, Radio Laura.